The Young and the Monstrous, a story of kids just trying to get out of high school and keep their monsters within. Episode 20, The Feral and the Pharaoh.
I think we see a shot of that room where Everett often is. And we see it splattered in blood, absolutely like destroyed. Something's run amok in this place and crashed through a bunch of things. We see a big baby Huey looking freshman who has been absolutely gored and eviscerated lying on the ground. There'll probably be a censor's note later for this of like, you cannot show that. That is disgusting. Like
that's WB.
Yeah, that's an HBO level level amount of gore and
yeah, and there's like boobs that have formed in the gore. It's like, oh yeah, definitely HBO.
Mm-hmm. Then we hear the thing. We hear that scream. Oh, here's what this is. This would be something from an HBO show. It's a scene that we saw in the last episode from a different angle. And we had not seen this. And now we see like from in that room, the camera turning and like tilting towards the fleeing form of Charlie Chaplin, not doing his signature walk, but Charlie Chaplin, who was a young lady who was in charge of helping to fix the lights, is running away, and we see this strange shape, almost like imagine like the Predator distortion. But there seems to be
already
like,
there.
Yeah, stuff on this. And pretty quickly you can tell, like as one of the legs passes over where the camera is, that it's blood. And you see this person like kind of lifted up and similarly picked up and shaken and then thrown down. And we hear this we hear a roar from this thing that we hadn't heard in the previous episode. And weird that it would be obscured, that you guys wouldn't hear this. But instead, you guys stop just as you hear that roar and you hear this other crazy noise and you're kind of like not sure where to look. And by you guys, I mean we see Kyle, not the demon horse, and Emily. Kyle and Emily are kind of running down this hallway. They're probably holding hands. You guys were fleeing Brennifer's strange behavior and mm-hmm. something was up and you guys wanted to get away. I think you also wanted to just also be alone together. So this isn't necessarily like terrified fleeing, but
they were
going to
kick Kyle out. They were like, he was going to cause a ruckus that would probably get him kicked out or like apprehended or something. So
gotcha. So yeah. So when you guys hear this, when Emily and Kyle hear this noise, they stop to give each other the, like, what was that? And before the T in the second T in that is a hit in the word. That's when Charlie Chaplin just splorches down from above in this like scaffolding and other stuff.
Like
and
a moist wink.
Like the moistest of winks, which sounds like a overly sexual thing, Kyle. So, Carl, so please stop. So you've got Charlie Chaplin's body, and it's just like gored and bashed around, probably like arms and legs broken, head split open as it has fallen down. How high up would you say was like the Manatee High School auditorium? Probably like 2.5-3 stories?
Like I literally couldn't tell you.
Okay, let's say it's 2.5-3 stories, something like that. So that distance, like limbs that are broken from who knows what, maybe it was the fall, maybe it was something else, head cracked open, and yeah, just like a big tear, like a hole, like pierced through their torso, and that body lands directly in front of you. And this has been a game that has been fairly not... There has been some violence that has occurred, but it has mostly occurred fairly off screen. And this is the first time we're seeing like, oh shit, there's a dead body and it just splorched down right in front of us.
Kyle like instantly responds, like takes a, jumps back and it's just like, gross.
Oh my god, what is that?
And Kyle's just like, oh, it's somebody's disgusting, horrible leftover lunch, or nope, that's a body. Gross. Like, that's just so vile. You know, this school's really gone to hell.
And you hear from the direction that came, something's moving down. Something's moving towards you guys. And at first you hear like creaking and groaning and that bending sound of like metal and wood as like, uh-oh, those things aren't strong enough to hold whatever is happening. Like that noise that always accompanies like, wait a minute, that dam is about to break. Like that kind of a thing. Or this bridge is gonna give way. And you're hearing that noise. And I think this thing is going to just fall. It's heading towards you, but I think it can't really get down in too dexterous a way or nimble a way. And so a lot of this is just going to be it falling like the two-ish stories from where it happened to be and where it happened to push itself through. And when you look up, you see like shaking. It's kind of dark up there. There are some lights that you can maybe see, and you see like bending things, and as if everything up top is kind of like wiggling and squirming out of place. And does this seem like a roll? In other games, it would be like a
acrobatics.
What is the term in Dungeon World? A defy danger type roll. I don't think that's what this would be.
If they run away, I guess that's the closest.
Yeah, there's run away, but I will say you guys just arrived in this scene because of a runaway roll. Mm-hmm. Is that, I mean, that was the last session, but would that make sense to then run away because of this?
Maybe. Can I yell at it to go away?
I mean, you can. I don't know how.
Well, I mean, I agree that basically it should be approached like, what do we do as we see this about to happen? And if Emily's gonna try and like shout at it, Emily, are you thinking like intimidate it or like get it to chill out?
Oh god,
are you trying to shut it?
How could I use my hot bonus?
Would it be kind of something like where your action is to make me act a certain way?
Yeah. Oh my god, Kyle, help me.
I could see that being a thing.
I could use hot against what? I have a string on Kyle, too.
I was going to say you could pull a string on him to be like, hey, protect me from this thing.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, that's the ticket. Okay. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So Emily spends a string and is saying, hey, Kyle, you need to help me. Cool.
Kyle, stand in front of me like a meat shield.
Yeah, you stay over there. What do we have when someone spends a string on you?
Choose one. Tempt them to do what you want, give them a condition, add one to your roll against them, or add one to the harm you deal them. So I guess it'd be tempting to do what you want.
Yeah. And then if you do that, don't you gain something from that, David, or no?
Yeah, you get an experience point if you do it, I believe.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Well then, yeah, so Emily kind of was like, yeah, does that look like exactly that? Just Emily saying, Kyle, protect me.
Yeah. Kyle, I'm scared, please. Help me.
All right. And Kyle will like be staring up into this creaking darkness and he'll be like, well, I'm not scared. I'm fine. You know, you should. And he's like, getting closer and closer. And he's looking down the hall, like trying to gauge whether they could like make it out of here. And I think he'll like look at Emily, like, and maybe have just like one brief moment, kind of like he had with Celine, like a couple nights ago, where he like considers her like as a human being for a moment. He's like, he like plants his feet. And like kind of like turns to the side and like gets ready for this thing to hit the ground.
All right. So you're going to wait for this thing to show up.
Yes, he is. And corollary, I'm trying to think if there's anything I use as a weapon around here. Nothing's coming to mind.
So, to give you where you are in the school, we were never clear. So, I'm imagining that you were in this big gymnasium, maybe, and perhaps the gymnasium, and this would probably be a bad idea, the gymnasium and the theater are, like, attached to each other so that the lights can all be connected, and it can be, like, the same lighting grid and that kind of stuff. And I think you guys had left the gymnasium and maybe were going through where the theater is. And so now you are in, you're just in like the old auditorium. So just imagine the Manatee High School auditorium. And you've got kind of the big stage area. The top of the ceiling is like two stories up, and you're in kind of like an area behind the stage. And there's all this scaffolding above where you are, and you hear this thing. It is going to absolutely land on you.
All right. He's just going to be ready for it with whatever he's got on him, which is just his fists and his teeth.
Okay. I was trying to say, like, anything that you think could be there could be.
By the way, not fists. Fist.
Fist, and teeth. Yes. He takes off his Imperator Furiosa false arm to use as a cudgel.
Yeah, if he had one. I don't think he did.
If we're in a theater, wouldn't there be props around? Maybe you could use an improvised weapon.
I think that's going to have to be your department, Emily, because Kyle's not coming up with anything. Maybe he'll look for something.
Okay, a push broom.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does Emily hand Kyle?
I give you a mop.
Yeah, you're like, mop.
Okay.
And he, like, it's a prop mop. It's not even a real mop.
Yeah.
He takes it and he has like the noodly end facing out. Like, yeah, this will be the most dangerous way to use this.
He's like, I know what I'll do. Puts that part on his head and is like, you wouldn't hurt a lady. Not one with beautiful white hair, would you? Not one whose hair is covered in fabuloso, would you? Anyway.
So we still got to the turn someone on. He made it.
Yeah. And that's... The monster's like, oh, hold on, who's this pretty lady? Gives you flowers. This is just a Bugs Bunny cartoon at this point.
Kyle personally is committed to the... Emily has asked me to fight. And, like, his hunger is also gonna play in here, where he hungers for thrills. And he's like, this does it for me on some level, even though it's terrifying. So he's gonna fight.
Okay. All right.
I would just like to put forth the idea that because Emily has such a protective mother, she probably has Mace in her purse.
Sure. She maces Kyle. Get away from me, you one-armed perv. All right. Yeah. Carl. Carl and Kyle, man. I feel like I had that down so fine for other sessions, and now today I'm really struggling.
It had never occurred to me that those things were going to be an issue. I had not thought about that.
Well, in the also, last session, I was like, what's your character's name, David? And he was like, my character's name is Carl. Wait, shit. Like when he was just coming up with character names.
Yeah. What a ridiculous name. I'm sorry. Also, Kate pointed out to me, like, after the second session, she was like, Carl, you have a really clever name. I was like, I do? Thanks. My name's Kyle Morganhouse, and it never occurred to me until Kate told me. It's like, oh, it's Morg in House. Like, it's nice. A play on the dead thing. Never occurred to me.
Nice. I didn't think about that either.
So thank you, Kate, for thinking I'm smarter than I am.
That was like afterwards when I came up with in Monster of the Week, Alan Graves. I was like, wait a minute, that's all in Graves. Oh, oh my shit, God. This works.
That's great.
Like, I don't think I'd planned that out. All right, so... I should have these dice ready for me. Lash out physically. When you lash out physically, roll with volatile. So, Carl, roll Kyle's volatile score.
Cool. Finally, something he's good at.
I think this is some of the first violence we've had.
He got a total of 8.
Total of 8. So on a 7 to 8... You harm them, but you're going to choose one of these.
Oh, yeah, I know. Learn something about your true nature. I become my darkest self.
Oh, okay. Well, that was easy for you to decide. Okay. You harm them, but choose one. Okay, so you become your darkest self. All right, let's. You are the ghoul, correct?
Yes. I can read it. I've got it here if you want.
Go for it.
Your dull hunger sharpens. You can't focus on anything else but feeding. And in addition to your peculiar cravings, you recognize something else. That primordial hunger which connects all hungers. Flesh, blood, meat. You escape your darkest self once you've overindulged or you've been locked out for long enough to regain composure.
Oh, fuck. So spooky. All right. So here's what we know of this creature so far. We know this creature is big. Like, imagine, like, elephant big.
Oh, boy.
So this thing is big. We know that it has tusks. Much like an elephant. It has tusks, but it also has antlers. And for the most part, it is invisible. We're really only seeing the outline of it as it's, like, splattered in blood. And because it's so big, it's, like, pushing against things and moving through and bursting, like, busting shit up. So we see the outline of it often. When this thing barrels down at you from two stories up, maybe more than that, because the scaffolding and catwalks would have to be above where the ceiling might be, in the audience part of the auditorium. What does this look like when this thing lands? And then that Kyle tries to whip this thing's ass with him up.
Well, it's like you said, there was the creaking and the groaning of, like, all this infrastructure up there making way for this much too big thing. And then I figure, like, once it gets to the end of that, it sort of falls the rest of the way, and, like, the classic, like, boom, and the dust cloud comes up, and, like, splinters of wood or whatever the floor is kind of, like, gets tossed up around it. But, of course, there's no it there. It's just, like, the vaguest shimmer. You can see, like, the shape of it just from the size of, like, the crater of the feet it left on the ground. And I'd say, like, as soon as that happens, Kyle, like, he's, like, working himself into, like, more and more of a frenzy. Like, at first he was, like, kind of looking like, okay, well, I gotta stand my ground here. Like, I gotta protect Emily. But, like, now he's, like, getting excited about it. And he's like, yeah, yeah, come on, come at me. And he, like, runs at it. He throws the mop to the ground. Like, he doesn't even want it anymore. And he, like, tries to start scaling this thing like a rabid animal with just, like, the one hand and his teeth, just trying to, like, inflict whatever pain on it he can. And, like, you can tell how you'll be able to tell where it is just because you'll see Kyle climbing on it all over the place.
Whispering Breeze Resort and Spa is Central Florida's premier relaxation destination. Let our professionals pamper you. Whether you're a local or just visiting, Whispering Breeze has the amenities you need to make the stress of work or play float away. Join us for Michelin star dining at Chef Jean Baptiste Bistro. Melt your cares away with our certified Swedish and Shiatsu massage therapists. Enjoy the amenities of our full spa, including sauna, hot tub, state-of-the-art queefing lounge, and full esthetician services. Whispering Breeze Resort and Spa, the place to stay to let stress blow away.
It starts to, like, do the thing that, like, an animal will often do, which is to try to shake something off of itself. And in that process, it is wrecking the hell out of this place. I think, like, some of the curtains get caught up in its antlers. And Emily, what is your reaction to this?
I'm just screaming, Kyle! Kyle!
Okay. Do you run towards him? Is there anything else?
I pull out my mace.
You're like, I got this. Awesome.
Getting ready. Right. Trying to mace this invisible monster and not mace my boyfriend.
I'm gonna mace this invisible elephant. All of this is going on, and you hear footsteps, and you hear, like, Kyle, what are you all right? I saw, oh my god. And who is it? It's Shree. And she's like, Kyle, are you okay?
Kyle is so far gone, not to mention he's locked in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Kyle is is battling is Paleolithic man battling a woolly mammoth over there. He's not probably hearing this in the slightest. Emily, this is really a scene for you. This is Shree, and I think she's run like basically like right up to where you are. She's like yelling, Kyle, how are you okay? What do we do?
She surprises me, so I turn around and I mace her in the face.
All right, I'd say that's probably also a lash out physically from you too, then.
All right then.
Suddenly, everyone in this game is super violent. This is the episode where everybody is beating everybody's ass.
This is the second half of from Dawn Till Dusk.
I've got a snake and a weird wiener revolver gun. Kate, that's with your volatile stat. So 2d6 plus your volatile stat.
Oh, okay, great. 7.
7's not bad. So on a 7 to 9, you harm them, but you have to choose one. They learn something about your true nature and gain a string on you. The MC decides how bad the harm turns out, or you become your darkest self.
What's my darkest self?
I don't know what any of these are.
It's nobody understands you, nobody even tries. You do so much for the people you love, and they walk all over you. Enough is enough. Betray them. Show them what it's like to be uncared for. Reveal their monstrosity and yours. Only seeing the pain that you're causing your lover will let you escape your darkest self.
I don't know how that would fit in here. I'm going to go with the second one and just let her decide how bad the damage is.
The MC decides how bad the harm turns out. So, David, when you're playing this game, is it always assumed that this is like a tit-for-tat situation, or is that not the situation in this game?
Because it says 10 and up and 7 to 9, you harm them. But so
yeah, like in the other games, it usually says like you exchange harm.
Yeah, so I think that's the case on 7 to 9. It seems like that's what they're saying, right? If you choose that.
I guess we could do it that way. So you whip out this mace that you have, and when Shree kind of comes up somewhat behind you, and as she's yelling and gets close enough to you, you spray her in the face with this stuff, and she screams and she kind of grabs at her eyes, and I think that maybe she was a little bit closer than you had expected, and while she's like, she seems to be blinded and is yelling in pain, she grabs your wrists, and so like the two of you like fall into this tussle kind of on the floor near this, and I'm going to say, of course, this is happening on the stage itself as this giant creature is bursting through the floor, treading the floorboards indeed, like bursting through with its weight, like the wooden planks of this old stage, and the two of you, the danger that we have is that you two are like grappling with each other like on the ground 15 feet away from a wild man fighting an elephant, that kind of deal. So that's the danger in which we're in right now. Carl, when you're in this form, and David, let me know, do you have control of yourself? Is it just like this is how you're kind of supposed to behave? I assume you still have control. Let me phrase this. Is this like you have control of your character? You're just pushed to act this way?
That'd be my suggestion.
Okay. That's what I would assume as well. I remember in Vampire the Masquerade, that was always a debate of like, oh, when you go into a frenzy.
Oh, Rot Shrek.
Either one. Like, do you have control of the character or do you give up control of the character? Kind of a thing.
I would say it's one we picked, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're fighting with this creature. This is not a creature that can be easily just defeated by
gouging my fingernails.
Yeah, like I would argue that you're probably stronger than a normal person. And do you have a thing that makes you particularly strong?
when you heedlessly pursue a hunger, add one to your rolls. And then apart from that, no.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say that you probably are weirdly strong. But even then, this is a man trying to punch an elephant to death.
Oh, yeah.
Even a very strong man. And that's... I think you have succeeded in absolutely pissing this thing off beyond belief. So it's probably in the state of its rage that you are in for yourself. Like, you and it are both enraged and trying to destroy each other as it's bashing. It's trying to, like, use the heft of its own body and bash you into things. It's trying to knock things over and maybe fling them at you if you're, like, a second, like, if you get any distance away from it, which I'd say you're mostly not. Aside from having you make another roll, I think you're essentially not able to, in this moment, significantly harm this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that would make sense here, aside from just another lash out physically roll?
I can think of, well, here are the options. Like, I could think of a few ways he might try and get the upper hand, which would be mm-hmm. more like combat oriented. And then apart from that, if there was a way to get information, for instance, to Emily, where it's like, find Carol Hamilclar or something like that, where it's like, find someone who could possibly help beat this thing. So those are my only two suggestions. Or, and like if neither of those, maybe like the thing just beats Kyle and if Emily doesn't like do something, like she's next or something like that.
Ooh. Honestly, I think that might be the kind of the interesting thing, is this thing is just bashing you into like a wall or something like that, and it's, you've pissed it off to the point where like it's focused on you, but Emily's a little busy at the moment. She's wrestling with Shree. Yeah, is there anything you are yelling to her, or are you just totally focused on this creature?
Anything, what was
is
that?
There anything, what? I'm sorry, is there anything that Kyle is yelling to Emily, or is he just focused entirely on this creature?
I feel like the thing that probably make the most sense, if he's like rabid, like just as much a creature as this thing is at this exact moment, but I'm trying to think if there's a way we could like maybe get like the Carol Hamilclar like angle going here, where I could like sort of get that information to Emily somehow. Like could work, I guess, where he's like sort of like gasping out like, get Carol, or do we know who Carol Hamilclar is? Like, is she a classmate?
Yes, she is. Yep. She was even in detention with you in the first session.
Okay. So Emily does recognize this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that'd be like the most productive thing to do. Like, he can like try and like gasp out in between rounds of trying to bite this thing of like, Emily, find Carol. And then he's like swung around to the other side and his voice gets really far away. He's like, find Carol, Hamilclar.
Yeah, fucking Doppler effect as he's being flung around by a mammoth. Yeah, this place is shaking. The curtain has been torn down and is like covering the two of them as they're ripping through it. But Emily doesn't see this, in part because she's busy fighting off this other teen lover of Kyle's, or teen what would you call it? Luster after, one of those, somebody who likes you.
Simper?
Admirer? What is the term? All right. So the two of you are like locked in some kind of combat and just kind of rolling around. And I think that Shree is trying to like, she's knocked this stuff out of your hands, this like mace out of your hands, and it's gone. We've seen it goes like rolling off to the side. And she's like, you bitch, he doesn't love you. You know, he's always been in love with me.
I would like to take my foot, put it on her chest, and kind of kick her over my head backwards so she's like right next to the chaos that's going on with Kyle and this monster.
All right.
I'm hoping it will distract the monster from Kyle.
Is that just like another lash out physically
scar on a Pride Rock?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, that's another volatile roll. Seems like this is going to be a lot of these for a little bit.
Got a 6.
Burp, burp.
Boo.
And you added your volatile score?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Oh. I think you go to do that, and Shree, who, if you remember, had run away to Broadway, or had run away to New York City to try to be in Broadway, which she's back, so that didn't apparently occur. Also, she's a teenager, so there's probably only so many things that she can do in a legal labor law capacity.
Let's get into that.
Let's talk about it. But yeah, I had a joke that I thought of just recently that was like, somebody showing up to an audition and a guy, like a really gross guy being like, all right, come in. You ever hear about the casting couch? And the lady's like, oh my God. And the door closes and you see that she's walking a dog and it says like Jake Spurn, Dog Entertainment Industries. And he's just going to fuck the dogs. But anyway, but so, yeah, I think that you go to like roll over with her on this and she just rolls over and she says, weeks of stage fighting and rocket kicks, bitch, and just kicks you, but the opposite direction that you had planned. So we just see Emily fall into the orchestra pit and like be like, fuck, and like flop against all kinds of music stands and chairs and other crap that's down there, and I'd say you probably get kind of hurt from that. So could you mark down that you took a harm from that? As that was
there's
pretty
harm in this game.
There is, yeah Kyle, yeah, Kyle.
Oh,
Kyle's huh. Gonna experience this pretty soon. He's fighting an elephant. Yes, yes indeed. So yeah, we've got that there. And yeah, we're gonna stick with Emily for a second. And we go back, we see more of this fight, and we see I think we see Shree try to like she tries to intervene in some kind of way. It doesn't have to necessarily be effective. It would be a shame to see her immediately get murdered by this elephant creature. But what is the way that she attempts to intervene? Does she just throw something at this thing? Does she try to, like, reach out for Kyle's hand?
She grabs the mace that fell on the floor, and she goes to spray it and sprays herself in the face again.
She's like, no! Whoopsie!
That is literally exactly what I was going to say, but I was trying so hard not to say anything.
She goes to pick this up, and I think that she just like is like wiggling with this thing, and it's like it's fucked up from when you guys like when it knocked out of your hand, and she goes to get it, and she like, oh, the little like it's a really shitty thing of mace where like the little aerosol cap has come off of it, and she goes to put it back on, and when she puts it back on, she just cracks it open. So it's not that she sprays herself like a Three Stooges bit, it just explodes in her face. And so it's not just her. If Kyle was a thinking man in this moment, Kyle would also be coughing and wheezing as like pepper spray goes all throughout this room. I've been in a bar when somebody's thing of mace exploded. It was interesting. Shree just starts coughing uncontrollably and like wandering about. And yeah, we hop back down to Emily. In this orchestra pit, she's got she's been injured in some kind of way, either some like big serious bruise or maybe she like sprained an ankle or dislocated her shoulder. Nothing that's gonna be permanent, but she's like, shit, I really got hurt.
I could see her having some like cuts or like even gashes on her from landing on music stands.
Yeah, there's blood on a copy of sheet music. You're inspired.
Yeah, and whatever the song was, it's very like meaningful, poetic.
The Entertainer.
The Aristocrats.
If Emily gets up and she's holding her arm or she's holding her stomach or her leg or whatever it is that she's cut or she's sprained something, we can tell just as how she gets up and moves through these like music stands and chairs and other shit, however she's hurt. She has to get up, and I think there are two stairways. There's one that goes towards the stage and there's another that goes towards let's just say not the stage. And that could be back towards the gymnasium, to the dance hall, or to leave.
And what was this woman's name that Kyle asked me to find?
Carol.
Is she at the Halloween dance? Do I know where to find her?
You had not seen her. You know a Carol Hamilclar, but you don't know... you have not seen her for a while. Last time you guys encountered her school-wise, everybody was like, whoa, Carol got arrested. So maybe there's the thought of, like, Carol's the bad girl. But we said she was played by Brie Larson, or a Brie Larson type. So name another cheese. She's played by Chev Larson.
All right. Well, I would like to help Kyle out as best I can, but I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go to find this person, and he is in mortal danger right now.
If I might suggest, depending on what you want to do, if you need to go soon, it could work out pretty well if it's like I go to try and find Carol Hamilclar with like a wing and a prayer, and then like possibly if she just shows up later, like Carol shows up later, it's like, oh, you succeeded, like off screen or something like that.
I mean, this sounds lame. You could call her. This does that, like, that sounds stupid, but we could just say you have her phone number. This is a possibility.
All right.
So maybe you try to call, nobody answers, you send a text message, and do you just send a text message of like, the auditorium, help?
Okay. Sounds good.
And then
that's what I do.
And then which way does she head? Or does she just stays down there? I'm turtling, baby.
I imagine her just laying on her back on a pile of these music stands, and she just like pulls her phone out of her purse and just, Carol, help.
Yeah, her screen is so busted. Oh man, it's tough. But she sends it.
Emily knows that she's in the perfect cinematic shot of like ruined music stands and like blood and like splayed out. And, like, to move would be to ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just also a little comfortable. I mean, like, I don't want to get up.
Emily just passes out on the music stands.
That is reasonable. Celine, we just saw. We see this again from another angle. And so we see Brennifer being like, get back here. And at some point you guys are trying to leave, Celine and Shimonye. And then when you turn back around, Shimonye has stopped. And she kind of like, not pushes you down or pushes you back, but kind of pushes you off of her. If you had at all been either touching her or like kind of motioning her to go in a particular way to leave. And she turns to go towards Brennifer. And at the same time that we hear the bellow of this creature, this is when Brennifer goes, ah! The second time. She had done it earlier and nothing had happened. And out of her like half dozen Ankh necklaces that she's wearing in her outfit that she like ripped open, that's way wildly inappropriate. Just this huge blast or bolt of energy flies out and is going to hit Celine. So, this appears to be Egyptian themed. What is it that hits you?
It's like locusts or something.
Sure. Okay. Good.
What were you thinking?
I was just thinking, don't say water. Don't say water. Don't say it's the power of the Nile. Even though I'm like, that is the thing that would make the most sense. Don't say that because I don't want her to be Aquaman.
It's a single crocodile.
Yeah, one crocodile shoots out. Just a pyramid grows out of her chest and the point of it stabs you. Just this wave of locusts like seems to materialize in front of her and like shoot with this crazy quantity of force and absolutely blast Celine just straight forward, and I think we see you go like tumbling across the floor, like just the concussive force of this, and these things are probably like biting her a bunch, and I think that this is like a crazy magical attack. So this is like a wild thing.
Is this like a harm too?
I think this is also like really dangerous. Like you didn't expect, like, oh, Brennifer is gonna shoot me with magic to harm this.
Okay.
All right. So that means this is like you are significantly hurt.
This is half dead.
Yes. It's pretty significant. I imagine it's not like someone like kind of beating you up in a high school sense. It's someone like really trying to kill you. Like, this is really rough. And, where do you end up? Because you're, like, blasted away. You could be knocked out of a door if you so like. You could be knocked into a punch bowl. You'd be knocked into another character who's been mentioned in any of these scenes.
Well, all the characters are around her, right? Oh, except for the Tooth Mom.
Janice Westmore DDS, Mr. Euripides, there's Chuck, who is Shimonier's mom, who's been who is apparently dating Mr. Euripides.
Right.
There's Paul Westmore, Emily's dad. Paul Westmore DDS.
Sure, maybe one of them. Are they all watching this or?
I would say all of them are like shocked by this and are like, what the hell is happening? Mm-hmm. So is there one of them that would be more interesting or funnier or more dramatic if you landed near? And also, it doesn't have to be any of them. It can just be like, oh, I get thrown into the bleachers. Or into the DJ booth.
I guess the dad that has not been paying attention would be perhaps the funniest. Like, I'm at the dance still. Wasn't he talking to like the football or the volleyball team?
Right? Yeah, he was talking to Keith Batari.
Yeah.
And now he's there. Now we didn't say this, but Emily's mom is dressed like a tooth. I think Emily's dad is dressed like a toothbrush, of course. And so he's standing there, and above his head he has all the bristles, and you bowl him over, so he gets knocked over with this, but he's not like hurt in the same way as the concussive force of 4,000 years of locust fury are thrown not at him but at you, and like he's like, oh my god, what the hell is happening? And some of the people who aren't enthralled by Brennifer are like screaming, and she's like, shut up, you bitches, go silence them, tell them to shut the fuck up. And a lot of these people, they're suddenly like one big, as those are the butt cheeks that stop twerking. And like all of a sudden everybody turns into 28 days later zombies and goes and runs at everyone who's not who seems to not be enthralled by her, and they're kind of just several of the people we see, the audience sees, are just kind of grabbed. And the folks are like, what the hell? What's going on? Mr. Euripides is like, oh, my hat! As his hat falls off and his bald head is revealed. Chuck, who... Carl, you were playing Chuck, right?
I think so.
Yeah. What is Chuck's nasty response to all this as she's grabbed and pulled away by zombies?
Oh my gosh, the dance used to be, the dance was so much better when I was running it. This is terrible. You guys,
the dance was so much better when there weren't zombies.
Yeah. Don't know how to dance.
We see some of these people probably running towards Celine and Paul Westmore DDS.
Yeah. So now Celine's, now she wants to get to Brennifer. She's, what's a good line for this? Just like, I'm not going to let this bitch ruin my dance.
All right. So rather than escape, your goal is to do something to Brennifer.
Yeah, she's like, she thinks she can do magic. Let me show her a thing or two.
All right, what is that? So what's the game plan there? There's probably people who are like scrambling over party decorations, discarded chairs that are off to the side, little hors d'oeuvres that someone had brought. On the DJ is attacked by somebody, and his machinery is hit, and you hear, "I was working in the lab late one night." Again, starts to play, and there are at least two or three of these folks who are running towards, scrambling towards Celine and Paul Westmore DDS as he's trying to get up, but his toothbrush body is giving him some difficulty.
So in order to properly hex, I have to lock eyes with her, or meet the gaze of Brennifer. So her goal here is to try and avoid these people and get to Brennifer, at least to, you know, shouting distance so she can yell at her.
All right. Do you think that there is a particular move that involves? Is it a keep your cool to get over there?
I don't know. That could work. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So when you keep your cool and act despite your fear, I can guess what the fear is. What is your fear? Go ahead and name it.
Yeah, I think that she's not going to be able to get to Brennifer. And that Chimonier will be forever ensorcelled.
Okay. There we go. All right, go ahead. So you're trying to make your way there, avoiding these thralls and getting closer to Brennifer. Go for it. Make a cool roll.
Oh god. My cold is also not good. Yeah, I failed that one.
Ooh.
That was a 4 total.
Alright.
Did you get an advance finally?
I think you kind of you are able to get away from Paul Westmore DDS, who's grabbed by some people and they grab the toothbrush part of him, so he's just wiggling his arms as people are holding the head of the toothbrush and like the other end of the toothbrush, which I think is between his legs in a very inappropriate kind of way. Where just
at least the brush isn't down there.
Well, it was weird when he kept trying to get over to the ladies' volleyball team. Paul, you devil. Oh, God, you devil. So you're able to get close towards her. And what's the really nasty thing that you say to Brennifer that you, in your head, in your heart, both Celine feels this and David, you think this, like this is the cutting remark that then you're going to zap her with lightning or you're going to like wither her arms off or something like that with magic?
Brennifer, you're dealing with powers you don't understand.
And that's when you just get absolutely punched in the face by Shimonia. No one speaks such a pharaoh, a Menhotuat.
The Young and the Monstrous,
a Monster Hearts actual play podcast from This American Dice. The Young and the Monstrous is Carl as Kyle the Ghoul, David as Celine the Witch, Eduardo as Everett the Ghost, Lauren as Lilith the Fae, Kate as Emily the Mortal, and Austin is your Game Master. Cover art is by Blair. Monster Hearts is a game by Avery Adler. The Young and the Monstrous airs here on This American Dice every Thursday, so don't forget to check us out each week. Rate, review, like, subscribe. Check out our Facebook group, The Whole Nine Yards, and let us know what you think. Every 5-star review on iTunes we'll read on the air. Our intro and outro music, of course, is Deep State by Vans in Japan. Additional music for this episode included Winter is Coming Adagio, First Snow by D. Yan Key, Don't Shoot by Jeremy Corpus, Apollo the Wicked by Jeremy Corpus, Trenches by Cowpay, Nomads by The Mini Vandals, and Germ Warfare, also by Jeremy Corpus. The additional voice you heard in this episode was Blair.
Now go, Lumberjacks!
Do it again, Austin. Yeah, do it again.
I will.
And that's all from your butthole.
Yeah, that was all from my butthole.
Okay, sorry.
The trick is I take the sides of my wiener and I pull them apart like when you make a balloon make a lot of noises, and then I just push really hard.
Your urethra is so strong.
I call it Urethra Franklin.
Now go, Lumberjacks!